The views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
Donnie? Mr. Hayes? Donald Hayes.
What's the matter? You forget your own name?
Police! Don't move!
The man said don't move.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You just cops?
Just cops?
I guess that makes you just under arrest for murder. First name Grant, last name Viro.
I didn't kill anybody.
Then why'd you run?
I thought you was with Union.
Welcome, everyone. It is Thursday, September 21st, 2023. I'm Bob Metz, and this is Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. Join us for an hour of discussion that's not right-wing. It's Just Right.
Fade into color, and color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be all right.
Well, talk about a smoking gun. Talk about being triggered. The term union thug did not arise without a cause, as was clearly demonstrated by unionists themselves only days ago. This past weekend, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson posted to her online platforms a recording of a raw video conference held between various members of union and labor groups. I have argued since my earliest days in political circles that unions and the labor movement are merely political lobbyists for Marxist ideology, who just happen to do a little collective bargaining on the side. And there can no longer be any doubt on this count, thanks to what is now on the public record. From Laura Lynn's site, quote, "This is a secret recording of a joint meeting held September 16 to organize strategic attacks and counter-protests against those parents, grandparents, and other concerned Canadians participating in the Million March for Children. Their plan is to disrupt, demoralize, destroy, bully, and intimidate marchers. Listen for yourself," end quote. Well, listen, I certainly did. And that simple description was a gross understatement. What I heard discussed during that meeting was nothing short of criminal conspiracy, one which we'll be featuring in painful detail today. More than a conspiracy, it was a glaring confession to the tragic irrationality and emotional dysfunction that motivates every one of the conspirators. And this is no conspiracy theory on my part. They themselves use and display the very term co-conspirators on their discussion site. It's just hilarious. And the substance of their discussion, if you can even call it substance, offered a rare insight to how the mind of the left operates. It also demonstrates why someone like myself and other articulate voices on the right find it so difficult, if not impossible, to get those on the left to discuss or debate any issues and philosophies behind their points of view. But with this recording, we finally got a bunch of lefties to put under a spotlight that's just right. This is a very rare opportunity that demands an urgent and immediate response, particularly given the million man marches across Canada beginning September 20th and a few days following, which are now underway as I speak. So whether or not this exposed conspiracy of organized labor actually materializes, the words that come out of their mouths, as usual with the left, project their own evils, ignorances, and hatreds onto some imaginary abstraction that they call the far right. Throughout my own commentary today, I'll be sharing selected audio bites of the key things said at this meeting organized by the labor movement, and will interrupt at various intervals with my own outrage and condemnation. That's all I have for them. What you'll hear coming out of the mouths of these union organizers is the kind of stuff you wouldn't believe if you'd only heard it third hand from me. So, let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth. Immediately after our reminder that you can write us at feedback@justrightmedia.org, hear us on WBCQ and on Channel 292 Shortwave, Follow and like us on your favorite podcast platform and visit us at justrightmedia.org, where you can access all of our social media links, archive broadcasts, and the support button that makes it easy for you to support the show. Because as always, your financial support is appreciated and is what makes this show possible.
Excellent day to have allies together for a very important conversation. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. My name is Rob Halpin. I'm the executive director at the Ontario Federation of Labour. We've got a pretty full agenda as well to discuss today, of course, about our organizing around a counter-protest for these events that are occurring on September 20th and a few days thereafter, quite frankly, as well. But to kick us off, I'm going to turn it over to OFL President Patty Coates for a welcome and a land acknowledgement. Patty.
Thanks, Rob. I want to thank everyone for being here. There's a number of protest events that are taking place all across Canada. We can't just let this be idle. We need to be able to organize. We need to connect with our communities in Ontario. From what I know, there's approximately 22 different events that are taking place, and there could be more now. But as allies and those that protect workers' rights, protect our kids' rights, and the rights of trans and our 2S LGBTQ plus community, we felt it very important that we do come together to fight against the rise of hate. And we're seeing it in province across province to fight against the hate within our communities. With that, I'm going to go to the land acknowledgement. I'd like to begin this acknowledgement by honoring the lands each of us are on. Please share in the chat the Indigenous territories that you are joining this meeting from. But as we gather here today, these nations continue to experience ongoing colonialization and displacement, where land acknowledgements are offered in place of land itself. The Indigenous peoples have been oppressed for years and years, millennium in time, and we're seeing that oppression again with two-spirited people, with our 2S LGBTQ communities. So coming together at a meeting like this, I think, is very important. And so with that, I'm going to pass it over. Back over to Rob, and we'll start working on our agenda. So thank you.
I don't know about you, but every time I'm at an event where it begins with some kind of Indigenous land acknowledgement, I am outraged and offended to the core. It's obscene. You settle for land acknowledgement, but you really want the land itself? Talk about racism and social divisiveness. Does Patty Coates not know that hers is the agenda of own nothing and be happy? That's effectively already the situation on many Indigenous reserves that prohibit private ownership and the land is owned collectively. Private property rights are a feature of capitalism, which sits squarely on the right political polarity. No, she doesn't know that because, like most people, her political compass is broken and the political concepts she's using do not correspond to reality. Land acknowledgements are an evil propagandist tactic aimed at making all non-Indigenous people feel guilty about existing, about being here. They're also a way of telling all those people that their histories and land acknowledgements going back a millennia are not relevant. Land acknowledgements are utterly offensive. If you want to talk about Indigenous histories and issues, well, that's one thing. But sticking it in the faces of everyone at every possible government-run meeting and social event is utterly offensive. What the hell do you think you're doing? You want to talk about oppression? Talk to any European who came to this country and made your freedom possible. Coates claims she's campaigning to protect workers' rights, protect kids' rights, and the rights of trans and our 2SLGBTQIA+ community. This is delusional to the core. There are no such rights, all defined as group or collective rights, which do not exist, folks. There are only individual rights, period. And in bringing up kids' rights, we know she's talking about allowing children to consent to things they are not legally or capable of consenting to. That is child abuse. Name me one right of trans, for example, and explain to us how it is different from any of the rights the rest of us have. Where is the discrimination or oppression? I've never heard of any. Why don't these self-proclaimed activists then tell us about it? Well, that's not their objective. That's not what they're going out to say. Coates says her objective is to quote-unquote fight against hate. Hate, 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 hate. That's all that comes out of these people's mouths as they project their own state of mind. Hate against who? In a complete, unsubstantiated, delusional stupor, she says it's the two blah 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 community, which is an abstract fiction and nothing else. I never even heard of this absurd expression until I saw it spelled out on the Union Zoom call site. How is it possible to hate something that I can't even identify or understand what the hell it is? 2SLGBTQIA plus? What? That's not a community. That's the combination to a safe, not a description of a community, whose components have nothing in common with each other, save for their irrational way of thinking and acting. For this group, ironically, the safe combination metaphor is appropriate, given that all of them talk about their safety and safe zones, safe from being judged, safe from being proven wrong, and safe from being exposed to some measure of truth. Safe from words, and safe from the expression of disagreement. I wonder how many people are using that jumble of letters and numbers and symbols as their passwords online. So, for the self-appointed representatives of the pretended 2SLGBTQIA+ community, be advised that I represent the ABCDEFGHIJKLMNOPQRSTUVWXYZ community, so there. You couldn't get more alphabetically inclusive than that. We on the right, therefore, demand an accounting of the missing letters from your narrowly favored minorities. Where's the inclusivity, eh? What a bunch of paranoid and racist degenerates. It just gets worse.
I'm going to call on Director of Women's Rights, Chandra Lee Paul from the Ontario Federation of Labour, to speak to where and why are these anti-2SLGBTQIA plus protests happening. And then we're also going to get an update from Vicky Smallman, who is joining us as well, regarding some of the work that's been happening at the CLC Emergency Task Force on anti-2SLGBTQIA plus hate. So, Shawnee, can I kick it over to you for a bit of an update of why this is happening and where this is happening?
Hi, folks. As Rob said, my name is Chandra Lee Paul. This is scary, I'll be honest with you. As a member who is a out, proud, queer individual and activist who's been doing this work for, geez, over 30 years now. It is, in my experience, my personal experience, the first of this kind that I've seen here in Canada, of this super broadly and coordinated hate right across the country of this kind.
Such a hateful comment, complete with the fear porn. It's very scary bullcrap. That was a complete lie, and she has no evidence whatever to support such a claim. If you're scared, stay at home. The very fact that she is on the Canada Labour Congress's task force on anti-2SLGBTQIA plus hate boggles the mind. It is simply undefinable no matter how you try to get through it. With a name like that and an agenda like that, do you suppose they'll actually be able to find and identify such hate? No, but they will be able to make it up and manufacture it.
We are seeing a set of protests that are all being done simultaneously, and it is really scary. It is extremely similar as to what has been happening in the U.S., and we are very, very worried about what could be coming next. And so what we're seeing is a far-right extreme response to inclusive education. Teachings that have anything to do with the 2SLGBTQI community, in particular to trans education, anything to do with that in the schools, and indoctrinating children, all the various ways that we want to reference anything other than what the far right sees as appropriate.
Well, that was another dose of fear porn, suggesting that it's really, really scary to see what's happening in the U.S. coming up to Canada. Doesn't she have that backwards? Wasn't it the Canadian Freedom Convoy that inspired similar responses in the U.S. and other nations around the world? But amazingly, she got it right when she said that the million people protests are a far-right extreme response, because they are. In fact, I would go farther than far and say that the protests are just right, insofar as they are in opposition to what is being called trans education, when their kids haven't even mastered basic reading, writing, arithmetic, math, grammar, history, or any of the other basic skills necessary to function in a human society. But here's a catch-22. Those on the so-called and imaginary far right have been immobilized and disarmed by the same broken political compass as much as have those on the left. Whenever someone accuses them of being on the right, instead of running away from those labels, they should embrace that label with pride, confidence, and virtue, because the right is the exclusive political polarity of freedom and individualism, in direct contrast to the left polarity of tyranny and collectivism, which includes fascism, by the way, with which those on the right are being accused. And then to add insult to injury,
love is what we have here. There is no space for hate in Canada, in particular, in Ontario, as this is what this group is here to discuss. We want to make sure that our messaging of no space for hate, of love, inclusion, diversity, is what that messaging should be.
The sheer hypocrisy and audacity of such a bizarre statement. She has every right and freedom to express her no space for hate message, but that's not even close to what she's advocating here. This is a call for outright censorship of those with whom she disagrees and is as intolerant and unloving an expression of hate as I've heard in a long time. And as always, the left's only means of persuasion is physical force, intimidation, and violence, because they've got nothing else with which to defend their irrational, evil ideas and political objectives. They're Marxist, for heaven's sakes. They're not out to peacefully express their views. They are out to physically and forcefully violate the free speech rights of others who do so. And that is explicitly fascist. Give me a break. How do they not know that? Shame on the bunch of them. And they should be shamed as often as is necessary, because these mentalities have excluded themselves from the process of reason. And you know what the worst part of all this is? Their whole sexually oriented, multi-lettered community based on sexual activities and preferences screams of perversion and child abuse. Hello? So they just toss in a few accusations of racism? And then people will be intimidated from judging this community for what it is. And I'm just getting started. But first, here's David Freiheit expressing what most already know to be the truth, and which explains why the protests are actually being held in the first place. It's racism by the numbers, followed by the perverted sexual grooming of our children in public schools. Remember, all of these union activists we're hearing from are the very people overseeing the education of our kids. They shouldn't be allowed anywhere near children, ever.
Hate symbol 14. It's a numeral, so we got 12, 13, 14, and I guess it's gonna have 1-4. It's the numerical shorthand for the white supremacist slogan known as the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people for a future for white children. 14 words, 1423, 1488, 18. That's funny. 18 is a hate symbol. 18 in Judaism is l'chaim. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing in that it's actually delusional and borderline psychotic. 18, alternate names, Combat 18, C-1818, is a white supremacist alphanumeric code for Adolf Hitler. Shit, I didn't know that whenever I give $18 or $180 or $360 to bar mitzvahs or fundraisers, I didn't realize that I was committing a hate symbol. I'm the worst self-hating Jew on earth. I'm going to stop. 211 crew, 21, 2, 12, 12, 13, 23, 28, 311, 311. There's a band, I guess. It's a hate symbol, the band. 318, 33, 6, 38, and it goes on. Anyways, I was pulling up pages. They've got a page and a half of numbers. Okay, you can make this stuff up, but no one would believe you. What is grooming? This is from the ADL. The truth behind the dangerous, bigoted lie targeting the LGBTQ plus community. First of all, ADL, you did not use the 2S or the IA plus at the end, and therefore you are bigots. You did not use the appropriate 2S LGBTQIA plus. You're bigots. You left out the two spirits, the I, intersex, and the A, asex. I'm going to cry bigotry by the ADL. Holy cows, how could they dare do that? Wait until you read this article. Far right and extremist voices have launched a significant attack on the, they did it again, the LGBTQ plus, we're doing their own, demonizing people via repeated false claims that the LGBTQ plus people are, quote, pedophiles, end quote, who are, quote, grooming, end quote, children in order to abuse them. This false and malicious narrative has been weaponized to label the LGBTQ plus community as, quote, groomers, end quote, and has fueled a slew of hostile legislation. Oh my goodness. And policies. Oh my goodness. This is, it's unbelievable. At erasing the discussion of LGBTQ plus related issues in schools. Oh my goodness. So if you oppose teaching 2S LGBTQIA plus stuff in schools, and if you believe that that constitutes a form of grooming, sexualizing children, you're a far-right extremist. There was a CBC piece where they were going to children and getting drag queens and adults to ask these kids questions that were clearly making the kids feel uncomfortable. That's called grooming. It doesn't even have to be 2S. It can be straight. Going up to a kid and talking to a kid about sex when you're not the kid's parents is grooming. Trying to get kids or compelling, coercing kids to feel comfortable about sexual discussions that fundamentally make them feel innately uncomfortable is called grooming. And now if you oppose legislation, if you support legislation that would prohibit that type of grooming of children, if you believe that that type of behavior directed at children regarding sexual activities, sexual proclivities, is a form of grooming, the ADL is calling you an extremist? The ADL is defaming you? Ain't that something else? Let me see if I can't, real quick, like, find the Viva Fry CBC grooming video tweet. It was so shocking. Here it is. I just found it right here. Oh, thank goodness. It's so shocking. And if you think that this is grooming and you call this activity grooming, the ADL is ready to defame you and, you know, try to hurt you. Here, check this out. This is it right here. Boom. Look at this. This is totally not grooming. This is totally appropriate. And if you think that this is grooming, you might be a right-wing bigot. You probably use numbers like 18, 13, 1, 2, 7.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little shy.
How old are you?
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
How old are you? I teach my kids to not tell people, to not answer the question from a strange adult. A stranger adult who happens to also be, how old are you? Stranger danger is how old I am. How old are you? How old do you think I am? Do you think I'm pretty?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little shy.
Feeling a little shy.
How old are you?
How old are you, little boy, little girl?
How old do you think I am?
I don't give a flying fuck. How about that?
Is this your first time seeing a drag queen?
Yeah.
Is this your first time, ... seeing a drag queen? This is Canada, people. Not far from America.
How does that make you feel?
Offended, but a little bit nervous.
Offended, but a little bit nervous. How does it feel seeing a drag queen? Offended, but a little bit nervous. I feel dirty. I feel uncomfortable. This is absolutely wildly inappropriate for a kid, but offended. You know what that's called? Grooming.
You can do drag. That's what's so special.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Why are you nervous? The best way to get less nervous is just to ask us questions.
Grooming.
Do you wear rings sometimes?
No, not really.
You're too young. Would you agree that makeup is for everyone?
Too young to wear a ring. not too young to talk to a drag queen about being a drag queen, asking a drag, you know, answering the drag queen's question, how old am I? By the way, nothing to do with a drag queen. Some adult comes up to my kid and says, how old are you? How old are you, little boy? How old do you think I am? I'm not a violent person, and I'm not going to like pretend that I'd punch him in the face. That conversation would come to an abrupt end, and it would result in me calling the authorities. How old are you, little boy? Yeah, how old do you think I am? You want to see the hair on my legs? You want to pat down the hair on my legs and watch it come back up?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you buy your drag clothes?
You have, like, a favorite drag performer?
Do you have a favorite drag performer? This girl, 8 years old? Oh my God.
I haven't really seen too, like, many.
Can I be your favorite drag performer since I'm the first one?
I'm your first, little girl. I'm your first. Don't ever forget it. Grooming. Holy shit, I'm sorry. Holy sweet, merciful hell. And if you call that grooming, by the way, it looks like the ADL has a problem with you. Hey, ADL, you are the defamers. Someone says, I feel violated. I mean, it's like bark loudly. I feel dirty watching that. And again, I'll stress this until nobody can misunderstand. Nothing to do with the sexual proclivities of the adult asking the kids how old they are. Are they their first? How old do you think I am? Oh, is this your first? Questions adults should never ask kids. Is this the first time? ... Oh my God. Okay. Sorry to use the Lord's name in vain. I shouldn't have done. Okay. We're done.
David Fryhai nailed it. I don't even know what some of those letters stand for, even when they tell us.
So I'm gonna bring Vicki Smallman on to speak now.
Thanks. So just to give folks a bit of a background introduction, I'm Vicki Smallman. I'm the Director of Human Rights at the Canadian Labour Congress. And we sort of are responsible for policy and campaigning, coalition building on the full sort of spectrum of human rights. And really, I think that Shawnee's point about trying to flip the script on the rhetoric is really, really important. And not let them set the agenda. We need to let folks know that, you know, that 2SLGBTI rights are important and central to the work that the labor movement does. This is about solidarity in action. We need to express sort of love, care, and support for trans and queer kids and workers and communities, and send a really strong message that that hate has no place in our communities or our workplaces or our unions, period. And hopefully we'll see a sort of a wave of love and support and care on that day. Happy to answer any questions, but I'm sure stuff will happen during the discussion. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank you, Vicki.
These poor misguided activists actually think that the Million March for Children is about them. They are so self-centered they can't even see themselves in a mirror. It's about parents and all concerned real human beings trying to protect their own children and themselves from being constantly confronted by and made submissive to the irrational evil demands of the BS-lettered non-existent community, which is just a front for Marxist terrorists pretending to love their victims. It's political grooming. And there's no such thing as a spectrum of human rights, for heaven's sakes, any more than there is a political spectrum with a pretended center. We know this because in reality, there are either individual rights or no rights at all. When collectivists and Marxists speak of spectrums, of human rights no less, they're referring to fake group rights, artificially manufactured as needed to promote Marxism and discarded when no longer useful to their dystopian causes. Gay rights, black rights, children's rights, workers' rights, women's rights, animal rights, language rights, aboriginal rights, lesbian rights, trans rights, queer rights, and rights assigned to a whole bunch of letters in their alphabet community that I can't even fathom. But two rights that never exist in their spectrum of inclusive rights are men's rights and white rights. because that's the racial and sexual group that the left directs all of its hatreds and irrationalities and its own racism towards. This is the explicit focus of all their racism, and it matters not that many of them are white males. They are seething with the hatred that they say has no space in Canada. Oh, and I forgot. Also, no heterosexual rights anywhere to be seen in their spectrum of rights. Where are the letters M, W, or H in their safe combination code? Give me a break. Let the circus continue.
And I'm going to welcome into the conversation Yolanda Badesi, the OFL's Director of Human Rights. And Shawnee may be jumping in here as well. Yolanda?
Good morning. Bonjour tout le monde. As Rob said, my name is Yolanda Badesi. My pronouns are she, her, and elle. And as you heard, I'm the Director of Human Rights here at the OFL. As Vicky and Shawnee and Rob and Patty have said, it is more important now than ever to organize around these issues. Many people have, in this effort, attempted to contact members of the 2SLGBTQIA plus community. And one thing that we have noted is that this is not a fight for that community. This is definitely a fight for allies. As allies, we need to be co-conspirators. We need to be in the effort in such a way that when the rocks are hitting, we as communities, as allies, as supporters, are able to organize and mobilize quickly in a way that we know at any time when anything is called that we have these systems, not just for the 2SLGBTQIA plus community, for any Islamic or anti-Islamic or anti-Muslim sentiments, for anti-Black, anti-Semitism, anti-women. We need to be there. We need to have these in our communities, in our workplaces, in our locals, so that we are able to move quickly. As labor, this is what we do. We organize. We know where our members are.
My name is Bob Metz, and my pronouns are he, him, and eel. And the reason I'm telling you this is because Yolanda Badesi seemed to think it was relevant to censoring the Million March for Children. Bilingually, I'm guessing by her inclusion of the word L. Once again, we see the preoccupation with self in a very unhealthy way. I guess this is what the face of narcissism actually looks like in public. And boy, is this one narcissistic bunch of malcontents. It is a sight to behold. People who succumb to identity politics, meaning groupism and collectivism, in which the individual actually has no identity, is a very strange place for narcissists to gravitate to, don't you think? But consider the meaning of Yolanda Badesi's statement that we just heard. It is damning. Quote, as labor, we organize. We know where our members are, end quote. So you organize and you know where your members are, and you're using the forced dues of those members to fund Marxism in the quote-unquote community. How interesting. And how fraudulent. And how like a political party, not a union or labor movement. You're not organizing as labor, quote-unquote. She, her, L. Badesi. You are describing a political party operating under the guise of a labor union and a labor movement fully committed to issues that have nothing whatsoever to do with labor and employment contracts, sex, gender, and the grooming of our children. Or are you referring to the kind of labor that women go into at childbirth? But I don't think so, because you're probably opposed to that. I run an officially registered political party in Ontario, and we're not allowed to fund it through forced union dues and fees. In fact, in the province of Ontario, unions are prohibited from contributing to political parties, as are corporations. This fraudulent misrepresentation should be illegal. But here was the real kicker to this testimony. Quote, this is not a fight for that community, the LGB whatever community, but it is a fight for allies. As allies, we need to be co-conspirators in the effort to organize and mobilize quickly, end quote. This is military talk and a call to demonstrate a physical threat of force. Since when does anyone have to, quote unquote, mobilize quickly in an ideological or philosophical disagreement? According to Daisy, her labor movement is doing to all these other communities and allies what NATO and the West are doing to Ukraine in their proxy war against Russia. In fact, in another part of the conspiracy discussion, one labor rep expressed his dismay that it was the labor movement taking the lead on this hate fest, and actually asked for one of his proxy allies to take the lead. The labor movement, remember, is Marxism right down to the May Day celebration's core, and it's using its allies in a war that those allies will surely lose because it's already lost before it's begun. And as to pretending to protect against any anti-Islamic, anti-Muslim sentiment, anti-black, anti-Semitism, anti-women, etc., these are the very groups you're planning to disrupt. And once again, no mention of any anti-white or anti-male sentiment protections. You filthy hypocrite. I'm sorry, the time is long past to keep tolerating intolerance and hate, because they sure won't. But the right does it with words, in an open forum that welcomes any ideas or arguments that might persuade us that militaristic Marxism through proxy victims is just not the way we on the right operate.
As you've heard, this is a mass nationwide coordinated protest. We see who they're targeting and what they're doing, which is the insidious way is that they're saying that they are protecting children. And we know that far from protecting children, this is actually an attack on children and on communities. So as we are saying, as allies, we need to come together and say enough is enough. We are not going to tolerate the hate, the intolerance, or the indoctrination in any form in any camp. We're going to organize, and we're going to have rapid response teams ready to combat this hate. And we all need to be co-conspirators in the community to stand up for this group, especially this time on the 20th, but all oppressed groups. We need to make sure that in these attempts that we're confronting the hate groups, we're organizing and mobilizing, that we're responding quickly. Someone said we are used to the type of hate and rhetoric that we see coming from the United States. What is unique about this is that it's now being under the guise of being led by parents. It's being led by the guise of being led by religious faith and some sort of ethnic communities. And we need to be very sure that we make sure that our response is based on the hate and not on the people. And it's a very easy way to divide many diverse communities by pitting us against each other. But within labor, within progressive movements, we know about intersectionality, and we know that hate can come in many forms, but it's a lot of ignorance. And so we need to make sure that our message is targeted towards the message as opposed to the people who are saying it, because in that way, we're not going to fall prey to their usual ways of bigotry.
Words escape me. This woman is psychotic. In that very last sentence, where she's calling on her so-called allies to not target the people protesting, she calls those very protesters bigots. She also called them ignorant and full of hate. Hate isn't an idea or a message that you can counter with some kind of other message. It's what a person feels. It is a value judgment no different in this respect than love. This is Marxist blather, right down to the square circles and round triangles. If you're targeting hate, then you are targeting the person. That's what it's all about. They want to round up people. And the only hate I see in this whole scenario is the hate of the left and of people like these conspirators. They are seething with hatred. It drips from their every pore, from their every statement and sentiment. It consumes them and it motivates them. What kind of organization puts together rapid response teams for combat, quote, end quote? She is calling for violence by co-conspirators in the name of all oppressed groups. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something worthy of being hated. Now, it's difficult to express just how delighted I was to see just a few days ago one of my favorite all-time influential voices, certainly in my life, none other than Thomas Sowell, in conversation with Mark Levin on Fox News on September 17. And guess what they were talking about?
One of the things that is astonishing to me now is that we're having this big debate about sex education in the schools. And to me, the question is, what qualifies the people who are pushing this stuff to take over the roles of parents? What's also very troubling is that this all came out during the COVID pandemic, when students were studying at home and the parents got to see what was being taught in the schools. Now, it so happens that 30 years ago, I wrote a book called Inside American Education, in which all of this was laid out just exactly as it's happening now. The fraudulence of it, the appearance that this is responding to what the students want. I can't imagine how many young people in the elementary schools especially are saying that they are a boy but they want to be a girl, or they're a girl and want to be a boy. I can't think of anybody in my whole lifetime who was saying things like that. And if you follow the sort of institutional way these things are done, there are groups outside the school system and inside the school system who want to do this and who know that the parents don't want them to do it, and they do it anyway, and they pretend that they're responding to what the students want. They're not. Once I was at a meeting of educators, and while I was there, there was a man who was going around the country selling a particular brainwashing program, and he showed me his schedule, and he was scheduled, my gosh, for every two or three days for months to be pushing this stuff in all the schools. And he mistook me as if he thought I was a school official, and he was regaling me with all of this. It's clear this is not a spontaneous thing. This is organized, and the tactics used are the tactics that were developed for brainwashing in communist countries.
You are listening to Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. And I hope you just grasped the meaning of what Thomas Sowell just said. Here's more from the Marxist conspirators.
Very importantly is that we arrive 30 minutes before, at least, the bear plan protest, so that we are occupying the space, that it becomes our message, and that we are then establishing ourselves. So that we are not going into their protest, that we are already there and we have established ourselves. Make sure that you have a megaphone, mic, music, flags, posters, banners, tan sheets. We know how to do that. What's very important is to take up the space. Take it up physically with the amount of people you have. Take it up with the noise you're using. Take it up with the flags and the signs that you have with these messages of love and positivity. So be vigilant for other hate events that you can disrupt with your groups. And make sure that we are also joining other counter protests that are planned by other organizations, so that we are doing the support and we're all getting together and being disrupting and causing some good trouble.
Yeah, good trouble. Round, triangle, square, circle. Not even an exaggeration. Exactly the language of fools as described by Isabel Patterson a century ago. Marxist concepts are utterly disconnected from reason and reality. Take up space. Because, of course, there's not enough room on the planet for you and anyone else. That was evil, hateful, and quite frankly, criminal. Since they are interfering with the rights of others to freely associate and express themselves. Freedom of association includes the right not to associate, but such matters of simple civility are the very thing Marxism wants to destroy.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much. So my name is Emily. I am a VP at CUPE 4600 here in Ottawa at Carleton University. And I'm also a steering committee member of Community Solidarity Ottawa, which has been organizing in Ottawa since the convoy. The fascists are organizing in the streets. I'm a researcher at Carleton, and my focus is fascism in Canada and the signs that I've seen that were rising, that this is far more than just like a far-right transphobic protest. They are fundamentally racist, they're fundamentally anti-union, they are fundamentally queer and transphobic, and it's just a matter of time before they come to us. And the only way, the best way that the fascists have been stopped in the last 100 years has been when we unite in massive numbers in the streets. Where we have to remember that our strength isn't just at the bargaining table. It isn't just when we're on the picket line. It isn't just when we're trying to get some better benefits for our workers. It's about flexing that with communities. I do want to mention that as Community Solidarity Ottawa, we were formed in the convoy with lots of affiliates of labor. And since then, we've seen a massive demobilization post-convoy. This is due to the natural siloing that happens amongst us. We get busy with bargaining. We get busy with other issues. It's a volunteer organization. But in that time of demobilization, they got better. The fascists got way better at organizing. Help people build those internal structures so that we can build a movement rather than just putting out fires. Because that's what they're doing. So we need to start catching up a little bit. And we know that we're better than them. We also don't have to worry too much about putting our members and our comrades in unsafe situations, because when we get numbers, we're going to keep each other safe.
That was so unconscionable and shameful that I'm struggling with how to best respond to such contemptible Marxist rhetoric and libelous and slanderous comments about people she has never even met or spoken to. She's a researcher at Carleton, and her focus is fascism in Canada? Are you kidding me? She's Exhibit A. She's Exhibit A of fascism in Canada. And what a confession that unions are political lobbyists, and that's where they get their strength from. Yeah, they've always been political lobbyists for Marxism. But you know, she knows she's better than we are. My goodness.
Peter.
Thank you, sisters and brothers and comrades. Peter Vach from Peterborough, Acute Retirees Network, and Peterborough District Labor Council. And Emily, your comments were brilliant and hard to follow up on that. I'm with the Peterborough and Nakorthas United Against Hate. We are an anti-hate network that's done 8 defenses of Drag Queen Storytime. We've been under attack by Save Canada, by Kevin Goudreau, by organized Nazis with Confederate flags. We are meeting at 9 a.m. across from City Hall on September 20th to oppose the bigots. We have a poster. It's already in the chat. Labor councils in Peterborough and Lindsay have taken the lead in this, and that's an important lesson that goes back to the convoy. When we started in Lindsay counter-picketing the convoy in 2022, we brought people out and we started that tradition of resistance. And we said to ourselves, Drag Queen Storytime taking place at our public library, staffed by our QP members, is not going to get shut down. It will not. And it has not. In fact, they've increased the bookings. That's been their goal, to shut it down. We've said, no way is that going to happen. A lot of us are already ready. We're organizing on the ground. We're organizing labor in the LGBTQ plus communities. We're organizing. I'm going to a climate protest. I'll be making an announcement. I'll be talking about public health care, because if you look at the program of the Ontario Party and the New Blue Party, they want credit card health care. They want chartered schools or what they call it, choice in education. We all know what that means, right? We can see the other attacks. It's all of us under attack.
And when Peter says, we all know what that means, right? Yes, we do. He's going to be out of a job because the consumers want another product, not his, which Peter, the healthcare and education fascist monopolist, would want to deny them. And the fact that his union sponsors drag queen events suggests a pathology and obsession that is astoundingly disturbing, and not because of drag queens. And what's that about organized Nazis with Confederate flags? Wow, that story was exposed within 12 hours of its being reported, and it certainly wasn't the people there that were doing that. And why on earth would these creeps be picketing a convoy? The convoy, which was all about protesting forced lockdowns, forced vaccine mandates, and the fascism of social distancing and wearing masks of submission. Is that another one of their mandates? Jeez. These people are... Yeah.
I'm going to go to Carolyn Egan next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you? Thanks very much, and great meeting, great turnout. I'm president of the Steelworker Toronto Area Council, also a founding member of Steel Pride in our union, and Community Solidarity Toronto. And I think being on the ready, not being taken by surprise, having organized beforehand, know who your allies are, know who you're connecting with, and be able to pull people out and to show that they are the minority. And honestly, we have shown, I think, here in what we had done a few years ago, they can easily be demoralized. Their confidence can be just ripped out from under them. And that's what we have to do by building large, mass united fronts in all our cities, towns, with as broad a grouping of people as possible.
So obviously, Carolyn Egan does not support minority rights or status. The minority must be demoralized, is her deeply informed philosophy of hatred. But you know, she does it with love.
Well, and I'm going to go to Anthony Marco here.
We do want to make sure that we're occupying the space, not only where they are, but where they intend to be. So we have basically been told that they are going to be meeting in a parking lot of a local mall. I don't know if they're going to be doing a tailgate for an hour, whatever the heck they're doing, but then they're going to be marching over to the school board. So our plan is to be at the school board first, And we are going to occupy in front of the school board as much as we can. So we're making sure that we are saying we're going to occupy their space. There is no possible way that we could stop them from walking around us to get to the school board building, but that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to basically diffuse and to take control of the messaging. When they are gathering for their tailgate party in the mall parking lot, we've got a couple of seasoned activists who've already said that they're willing to go over and, you know, take some pictures of license plate and make sure that they know that they're being watched, that they're not doing this in secret, that people are noticing what they're up to. This isn't a counter protest. This will be our rally. We want it to be our rally, not their rally. We want it to be our event, not their event. And if we have enough people there, that's what we're going to make it. But like, if somebody for some reason gets picked up, it would be good that if they could have a 1-800 number that they could write on their arm or something like that, so that they know they've always got a lawyer that they can call.
Like I said, you just can't make this stuff up. Occupy is the cry of the left because that is the sum total depth of their understanding of anything, and is why they are incapable of seeing other people gathering for peaceful purposes as anything but occupiers. His call for stalking and harassing people peacefully protesting is, in my humble opinion, enough to have him criminally charged. But since the police are unionized, well, what can we expect? And expecting their occupiers to be picked up by the police and having lawyers ready is tantamount to announcing in advance that violence is being planned. It will, of course, be blamed on the victims, which is the standard policy of the left.
The book is Social Justice Fallacies by Dr. Thomas Sowell. And in fact, Dr. Sowell, critical race theory, the 1619 Project, these are really anti-knowledge, aren't they? They're really propaganda devices for the hard left that are being, you know, pushed in our classrooms, pushed in our society and so forth.
It's not just propaganda. It is propaganda that overtly prevents other views from being heard. If they were just propagandizing, but the students were allowed to learn other things as well, different ways of looking at life, that's one thing. For example, there are people who've taught academic courses on racial and ethnic issues at Harvard and other places who just simply stopped teaching their courses because if they were saying anything that was different from what the propagandists were saying, you would have violence on the campus and so on, and the university administrators would not protect their classes. So they just stopped doing it. One of the great scholars in this area, the late Stephen Thernstrom, simply stopped teaching his course because you had ignorance silencing knowledge.
Ignorance silencing knowledge. Are we really a nation that's about knowledge now? Are we a nation that's about substituting the language of the hard left for real words, substituting the thought process of people who really seek to find, quote-unquote, the truth with ideology? What have we become on the whole? I mean, when I watch the news, all I hear is propaganda, surface-level BS.
That's the norm, unfortunately, in academic institutions, even the most prestigious. It scares me because you have people like, say, Heather McDonald or Charles Murray will come on a campus, and they do so at physical risk to themselves. And again, the authorities do nothing. Well, I've been in some of them where they had the police all around, the doors all locked, and people outside banging on the windows and doors just to disrupt the talk that's going on inside. The silencing of the other side has now become much more prominent. And the real danger is not in the silly ideas that are being promoted. It's in the fact that nobody else is allowed to reply to them without some danger to themselves.
And even without any knowledge of the union conspirators we're featuring today, Dr. Sowell has described perfectly all the very basics about them and how they think and operate. Now get a load of this call.
Okay, we're going to get to Susan next.
I'm bewildered, but I'm actually Susan Gapka. I'm here with QP Ontario. I'm the human rights chair and been directed to by our president at QP Ontario to throw off my Sunshine Susie cape and put on my Super Susan cape. But I use she, her pronouns, and I use elle au français, and I've got a heck of a lot of emotion surrounding this. I'm an out trans woman. I'm a trans elder. So about 10 days ago, or it feels like a lifetime ago in our world, when Stephen Lying Leche said that, put out the trial about parental consent in the schools, my life seems to have changed. And now you all bring me so much joy, so much comfort to know that there's more than five of us looking at each other in a small room, that we are here united in the struggle, in solidarity together. People that I talk to want to stop this dead in its tracks, and that's the wrong word to use. That's a figure of speech. But we want to show them strength. And what we have in labor is numbers. And if we can put up a good show on the 20th, but not make this a one-time event, we need to be doing counter-protests, educational forums. Trans Day of Remembrance is coming up, and we need to add that political message. There's this myth and misinformation of what's happening in our schools, what drag queens are doing. There's so many of them, it's hard to counter all the hate messages. If we stand up to the bully will decide what to do. They will fight, fright, or flight, fight, or fright. And so let's give them some fright on September 20th, so that on September 21st, till whenever, that they're working on the flight.
Susan is mentally ill. That guy's got more problems than a chicken on a conveyor belt. He's also a terrorist, advocating frightening innocent people. It seems to me that if these protests turn out to be anything like the Ottawa convoy, there will be a lot of women and children there, and all the terrorists can think about is swarming them with disruption and fright. Have you ever wondered why the left keeps insisting that the Ottawa Freedom Convoy and the peaceful march on January 6th in the U.S. were occupations? Now you know. That's how they think, they act, they plan, they see everything that way. They themselves insist that their main strategy is occupation. Completely understandable given their impotence in the field of democratic politics or persuasion. Occupy, occupy, occupy. It's another projection. That word occupy doesn't even occur to the average person on the right who attends a public rally of any sort. Occupy is a militaristic concept advocated by those who resort to violence and force to resolve every imagined conflict, and yes, that applies to NATO and the military-industrial complex as well. Occupy, occupy. They seem to think that represents some kind of strength or moral authority of some sort, but it demonstrates utter weakness, cowardice, guilt, and a whole host of evils too horrifying to contemplate. Losers occupy. Winners persuade. They think that they can win with greater numbers, as if that matters. Obviously, they don't believe in minority rights. Only majorities, according to them, have a right to express themselves. But in advocating that very tactic, they have exposed their ultimate weakness and evil. Consider how, even with all of their purported numbers and majorities, they are all so terrified of a single lone voice that might stand out and tell the truth. These people really are trans. Trans reality, trans moral, trans reasonable, trans logical, trans peaceful, trans respectful, trans tolerant, and yes, trans sectional. They actually use that word. It's part of the Marxist philosophy. Right now, this week's transmission of Just Right, though, must come to an end as we prepare for our next transmission, when you can join us again next week as we continue our journey in the right direction. And until then, be right, stay right, do right, act right, think right, and be right back here. We'll see you then.
Fade into color, color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
I'm sorry, I don't quite follow.
This government is going to let parents decide which schools to send their children to.
Prime Minister, you can't be serious. But it's preposterous.
Why?
Well, you can't expect parents to make these choices. Parents have no qualifications to make these choices. I mean, teachers are the professionals. Parents are the worst people to bring up children.